This is the Music Halls of Fame podcast. This week, we honor the year 2012 along with a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame class of 2012. We look at the case for putting Sonny and Cher into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, plus our Spotlight Hall of Fame is the Country Music Hall of Fame and Museum in Nashville, Tennessee. Before we get going with the podcast, like everyone tells you, please like, subscribe, and hit the notification bell so you'll know when these podcast episodes drop, which is usually every Thursday. Now, on to this week's episode. The year was 2012. 2012 was a very strange year. Most of it was spent by people worrying about that year's version of a QAnon conspiracy theory, the Mayan calendar apocalypse. Remember that one? That was when the world was going to end on December 21st because the Mayan calendar ended, and it was prophesized that the world would end because the Mayans didn't bother to run out to their local Hallmark store in order to get a new calendar. They even made a disaster movie about it starring John Cusack. I mean, people lost their ever-loving minds over this. Some people even committed suicide because of it. Go figure. In music for the year, there was surprisingly little in the way of drama aside from the number of big-name artists who passed away, which we'll get to later. The best-selling album of the year was a holdover from 2011. It was Adele's 21. Other best-selling albums of the year included Taylor Swift's Red, Frank Ocean's Orange, Ed Sheeran's Plus, One Direction's Up All Night, and also their album Take Me Home, Mumford & Sons' Babel, as hipster folk rock ruled that year, Justin Bieber's Believe, Carrie Underwood's Blown Away, Jason Aldean's Night Train, Luke Bryan's Tailgates and Tan Lines, and Lionel Richie's Tuskegee, the last four albums being country, which was also a huge music genre that year. Gotye and Kimbria had the biggest single with Somebody That I Used to Know. Other top songs were Carly Rae Jepsen's Earworm of a Song, Call Me Maybe, Taylor Swift's We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together, Maroon 5's Payphone, Rihanna's Diamond, Fun's We Are Young, Nicki Minaj's Starships, The Lumineers' Ho Hey, Flo Rida's Wild Ones, and Kanye West's Mercy. In country music, the country music town of Branson, Missouri was heavily damaged by a tornado. The Nashville network started back up again, and Randy Travis had a number of mental health issues that year that culminated in a struggle with police during an arrest. Big albums that came out in 2012 included the aforementioned Taylor Swift's Red, Carrie Underwood's Blown Away, along with Rascal Flatts' Changed, Colt Ford's Declaration of Independence, Tim McGraw's Emotional Traffic, Florida Georgia Line's Here's to Good Times, Dierks Bentley's Home, Josh Turner's Punching Bag, Alan Jackson's 30 Miles West, and Little Big Town's Tornado. There were 30 songs that hit number one on the country singles chart in 2012. Those included Taylor Swift's aforementioned song We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together, and also the song Ours, along with Florida Georgia Line's Cruise, the band Perry's All Your Life, Rascal Flatts' Banjo, Eric Church's Drink in My Hand, and Springsteen, his other song, Kenny Chesney's Come Over, Blake Shelton's Drink on It, and Luke Bryan's Drunk on You, drinking being the big theme that year. In hip-hop, it was the year that the Tupac hologram happened during Coachella, which was literally smoke and mirrors, but really looked cool at the time, must say. Big albums that came out in 2012 included ones by Nicki Minaj, Kendrick Lamar, Rick Ross, Good Music, T.I., Meek Mill, Nas, 2 Chainz, Wiz Khalifa, and Kool Savas and Xavier Nado. Big singles included Flo Rida's Whistle, I Cry, Wild One, and Good Feeling. He had four that hit huge that year. Kanye and Jay-Z's N-Word in Paris, Tyga's Rack City, Drake and Rihanna's Take Care, Snoop Dogg and Wiz Khalifa's Young, Wild, and Free, Gym Class Heroes' Stereo Hearts, and Big Sean's Dance. Speaking of dance, in dance music, 2012 was the year of the superstar DJ as EDM took center stage and clubs in Las Vegas tripped all over themselves, signing DJs to multi-million dollar residency contracts. Porter Robinson exploded onto the EDM scene, as did Knife Party, Nervo, Disclosure, and Rudimental. Among the albums that were released in 2012 were Deadmau5's album, Title Goes Here, Andrew Weatherall's masterpiece, and Hot Chips in Our Heads. Classic EDM songs of 2012 included Chase and Status's Pieces, Icona Pop and Charlie XCX's I Love It, Afrojack and Eva Simone's Take Over Control, Deadmau5's The Velt, Bauer's viral hit Harlem Shake, thanks to a social media video trend, Knife Party's Internet Friends, and also their song Bonfire, the Tiesto remix of Got Ye and Kimbria's Somebody That I Used to Know, Disclosure's Latch, Cruella's Alive, Calvin Harris and Florence Welch's Sweet Nothings, Zedd's Clarity, Calvin Harris and Neo's Let's Go, Avicii and Nicky Romero's I Could Be the One, Zedd and Hayley Williams's Stay the Night, Swedish House Mafia's Don't You Worry Child, and also Greyhound, Paul Van Dyke's Eternity, Nora N. Pure's Come With Me, Avicii's Silhouettes, Tiesto's remix of Coldplay's Paradise, Calvin Harris and Ellie Goulding's I Need Your Love, Ingrosso and Alesso's Calling, Skrillex's Bangarang, and Martin Solvig's The Night Out. Just about every single one of those songs hit the Billboard Pops chart, which told you just how huge EDM was that year. The top 10 DJs on DJ Mag's Top 100 DJs list were all stadium DJ icons, starting off with Armin van Buuren, then going to Tiesto, Avicii, David Guetta, Deadmau5, Hardwell, Dash Berlin, Above and Beyond, Afrojack, and Skrillex. In Latin music, the biggest selling albums and singles were released by Romeo Santos, Prince Royce, 3-Ball MTY, Jenny Rivera, who passed away in a plane accident that year, Don Omar, Ricardo Orjona, La Arrolladora Banda El Limón, Maná, Geraldo Ortiz, Wisin and Yandel, Juan Magan, Michel Tello, Daddy Yankee, and Espinosa Paz. Broadway musicals and revivals of Broadway musicals included A Christmas Story, the musical, Annie, Bring It On, the musical, Elf, the musical, Fela, Evita, Ghost, the musical, Jesus Christ Superstar, Kinky Boots, Newsies, the musical, Once, and The Gershwins' Porgy and Bess. Musical movies that were released in 2012, animated or live action, included Barbie, The Princess and the Pop Star, I Kissed a Vampire, Scooby-Doo, Music of the Vampire, Pitch Perfect, Rock of Ages, Sparkle, Les Miserables, Joyful Noise, and Switchmas. Groups that formed in 2012 included Dan and Shay, Haim, Emblem 3, Fifth Harmony, The Vamps, The Chainsmokers, Paris, and Ex-Ambassadors. Groups that either broke up until, of course, their inevitable reunions or announced their hiatus included Diddy Dirty Money, Buffalo Springfield, The Beastie Boys, The David Crowder Band, The Dubliners, Hole, Creed, INXS, Jet, MC5, Selena Gomez and The Scene, Ween, LMFAO, The Foo Fighters, Stained, Gorillaz, Incubus, Rage Against the Machine, Scissor Sisters, and The Black Eyed Peas. At least seven of those groups got back together by 2023. Groups that got back together in 2012 included 98 Degrees, The Afghan Whigs, the classic lineup of the Beach Boys, Garbage, the Jonas Brothers, Matchbox 20, the Monkees, No Doubt, the Replacement, and Van Halen. There was one artist birthday that happened in 2012, Jay-Z and Beyoncé's daughter, Blue Ivy Carter. Famous artists who passed away in 2012 included singers Whitney Houston, Jenny Rivera, Etta James, Bob Welch, jazz master Dave Brubeck, Donna Summer, Davy Jones of the Monkees, Levon Helm of the Band, Robin Gibb of the Bee Gees, Daniel Pell of the Corporation, guitarist Tony Sly of No Use for a Name, host Dick Clark from American Bandstand, and of course Dick Clark rockin' New Year's Eve, rapper MCA, otherwise known as Adam Yauch of the Beastie Boys, and entertainer Andy Williams. In awards for the music of 2012, Mumford & Sons won the Grammy Award for Album of the Year for Babel. Got Ye & Kimbrio won Record of the Year for Somebody That I Used to Know. Fun won Song of the Year for We Are Young, and they also won Best New Artist. At the American Music Awards, Justin Bieber won Artist of the Year. At the Billboard Music Awards, it was Taylor Swift who won Artist of the Year. At the MTV Video Music Awards, Video of the Year went to Rihanna and Calvin Harris for We Found Love. Frank Ocean won Album of the Year for Channel Orange. And Tyrese won Best Song of the Year for Stay at the Soul Train Music Awards. Taylor Swift, Katy Perry, The Wanted, Maroon 5, One Direction, Jason Mraz, Nicki Minaj, and Christina Aguilera all won the music categories at the People's Choice Awards that year. At the Eurovision Singing Contest, which was held in Azerbaijan that year, Loreen from Sweden won for the song Euphoria. Blake Shelton won Entertainer of the Year at the Country Music Association Awards, and Luke Bryan won Entertainer of the Year at the Academy of Country Music Awards. Emily Sand won Best British Album for Our Version of Events, and Adele won Best Song for Skyfall at the Brit Awards. Carly Rae Jepsen won Best Album for Kiss, while Carly Rae also won Best Song for Call Me Maybe, but Leonard Cohen won Artist of the Year at the Juno Awards. Got Ye won Album of the Year for Mirrors, and Matt Corby won Single of the Year for Brother at the ARIA Music Awards. At the Tony Awards, Once won Best Musical, and Porgy and Bess won Best Revival of a Musical. The Pulitzer Prize for Music was won by Kevin Putz and Mark Campbell for Silent Night. Musically, at the Academy Awards, Adele and Paul Epworth won Best Song for Skyfall from the James Bond movie of the same name, and Michael Dana won Best Original Score for Life of Pi. Alt J won the Mercury Music Prize for the album An Awesome Wave. The 2012 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony was held on April 14th at the Public Auditorium in Cleveland, Ohio. Axl Rose was a no-show for Guns N' Roses induction, as his feud with Slash was still going on at that point. During the ceremony, the hall inducted Cosimo Matassa, Tom Dowd, and Glyn Johns into the Award for Musical Excellence category. The hall inducted manager and music publisher Don Kirshner into the non-performers category, and Freddie King into the early influencers category. In the performers category, the hall also inducted the Faces / Small Faces, Lauren Nero, Guns N' Roses, Donovan, the Beastie Boys, and the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Also at this ceremony, the hall inducted some backup bands to make up for the fact that these bands weren't inducted at the same time as their famous frontmen. These bands included Gene Vincent's band, the Blue Caps, Bill Haley's band, the Comets, Buddy Holly's band, the Crickets, Hank Ballard's band, the Midnighters, Smokey Robinson's vocal group, the Miracles, and this next vocal group. James Brown was the godfather of soul, the hardest working man in show business, and soul brother number one, and he earned every single one of those nicknames. The man practically invented the soul genre with his high energy moves and a stage presence that has been copied by everybody ever since. When you see Prince, Michael Jackson, or any of those other guys, they were influenced mainly by James Brown, because of all the stage dancing that he used to do. Early hip-hop wouldn't even exist today without George Clinton and James Brown. Rap and R&B artists have heavily sampled songs like Papa's Got a Brand New Bag, Sex Machine, Keep It Funky, Big Payback, I'm Black and I'm Proud, and countless other songs. James was also a civil rights champion, and it's credited with keeping the city of Boston, Massachusetts from rioting during the aftermath of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s assassination. James was born on May 3, 1933, in Barnwell, South Carolina. When he was a teenager, he was put into reform school due to some armed robberies that he had done. But while he was there, he met and became friends with Bobby Bird. After they got out of reform school, James went to live with Bird's family. He started out as a gospel singer. Bird started a gospel group called the Gospel Starlighters, which became the Avons later on. That group had Troy Collins, Doyle Oglesby, Sylvester Keels, and Willie Johnson. James eventually started his own group called the Everetti Gospel Singers and recruited Johnny Terry into his group after the two of them had become friends while also in Reform School. Right around the time that James's group had broken up, Troy Collins from Bobby's group, the Avons, was killed in a car accident. Bobby asked James to then join his group. Johnny Terry ended up joining them, along with guitarist Nafloyd Scott. Willie Johnson left the group and was replaced by Fred Pullian. After the group saw Little Richard perform, they decided to leave gospel music and start doing rhythm and blues. They changed their name to The Flames and then The Famous Flames, with James eventually becoming their lead singer. They also switched out some more members, with some of those members forming another group called The Fabulous Flames. In their heyday, from 1958 to 1968, James Brown and The Famous Flames released 12 albums. Their first hit was Please, 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 which went top 10 on the Billboard R&B charts. After that, the hits just started rolling, from Try Me to Night Train to Papa's Got a Brand New Bag and I've Got You, I Feel Good. Eventually, the group did the usual music route of breaking up and filing lawsuits over royalties, but James marched on and got a new group together called the JBs. Still, The Famous Flames' place was secured in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame due to the group's string of big hits. However, when James Brown was inducted into the Hall in the inaugural class of 1986, The Famous Flames were not inducted with him. In 2012, the Hall fixed this, along with the other groups whose lead singers were inducted separately, and inducted The Famous Flames members Bobby Bennett, Bobby Bird, Lloyd Stallworth, and Johnny Terry, who made up the core of the group during their heyday. Presented for induction by 1987 Hall of Fame inductee Smokey Robinson when he inducted his own group, The Miracles, into the Hall that year, Baby Lloyd Stallworth, Bobby Bennett, Bobby Bird, and Johnny Terry. James Brown's group, The Famous Flames, inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2012, and we have put their music, along with, of course, James Brown, onto this week's music podcast playlist, the link to which is in the show notes. Before we go any further, we'd like to tell you that there is now a Music History in Depth podcast where we go more in depth on a few of the events that happened in music history for that particular week. The Music History in Depth podcast drops every Tuesday on YouTube or wherever you get your podcast from, as does our Music History Today podcast, which goes over the daily events in music history. The Music History Today podcast drops daily, including weekends, on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. Now, back to this podcast. In a previous episode, we looked at the case for putting Cher into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Spoiler alert, she deserves to be inducted. This week, we're going to look at her partnership with her husband, Sonny Bono, to see if the duo Sonny and Cher belong in the hall. As always, to the tale of the tape we go. Sonny and Cher released 5 studio albums, 2 live albums, 1 soundtrack album, and 8 compilation albums. Of those, 5 went to the top 40 on the American charts, with 1 album, 1965's Look at Us, going to the top 10, number 2 to be precise. They also released 23 singles. Of those, 11 went to the top 40 on the American charts, including 7 going top 10, including 2 of those 7 going to number 1, 1965's I Got You, Babe, and 1971's All I Ever Need Is You. The duo received two Grammy Award nominations in 1966 and in 1972. Rolling Stone magazine has them at number 18 on their greatest duos of all time list, and they've sold over 40 million records worldwide as a duo. One critic said that the duo were, quote, part of the leading exponents of the rock folk message type of song, a hybrid combining the beat and instrumentation of rock music with folk lyrics and often lyrics of protest, end quote. Sonny and Cher also have a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Now, while their music was popular in the mid-1960s, at least until psychedelic rock took over, they found a lot of success on television as the TV variety show trend took hold in the 1970s. Cher, of course, then went on to have an amazing solo career that actually started before the duo broke up, in fact, long before the duo broke up, while Sonny instead went into politics until his death in a skiing accident on January 5, 1998. As far as the duo's worthiness for induction, I'm a little torn. For people of a certain age, as they like to say, they're remembered not for their music, but for the Sonny and Cher TV variety show, which doesn't actually make you hall-worthy, unless it's maybe the Television Hall of Fame. Plus, I think that some people are lumping in Cher's solo career with the duo Sonny and Cher, since Cher is definitely worthy of being in the hall and had massive hits throughout her entire career, including recently with her Last Christmas song. As far as people being influenced by the duo, I think more people are actually more influenced by Cher the solo artist than Sonny and Cher the duo. On the other hand, And the Beat Goes On and I Got You, Babe are iconic songs, so maybe I'm gauging this one wrong. I don't know. I'll ask you. Are Sonny and Cher actually worthy as a duo, not Cher singularly, but as a duo, of being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? I've put their music onto this week's podcast playlist, so you can decide for yourself. The link, as I always say, is in the show notes. This week's Spotlight Hall of Fame is the Country Music Hall of Fame and Museum. The Country Music Hall of Fame and Museum is located in Nashville, Tennessee, and was opened on April 1, 1967, but they actually started inducting members into the hall in 1961. The museum has almost 200,000 recordings and an extensive collection of memorabilia. The museum is located at 222 Fifth Avenue South and is open daily from 9 to 5, except for Thursdays when they're closed. Ticket prices are anywhere between $28 to $72, depending on the packages. Kids 6 to 12 are $18 to $57, depending on the packages. And the museum is one of Nashville's biggest tourist attractions. Go to countrymusichalloffame.org for more information, along with updated ticket pricing and hours of operation, since things sometimes shift depending on the weather and, of course, on the seasons, and you may have to still reserve your tickets in advance. And we will put that link to their website in the show notes. In 1969, the Country Music Hall of Fame inducted a man who was a star on radio, television, in movies, and in music. He is in an exclusive group of artists who have stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame in five different categories: film, television, music, radio, and also live performance. His distant relatives, first cousins twice removed, include actors Dennis and Randy Quaid. He is the man they nicknamed the Singing Cowboy. He is Gene Autry. Gene Autry was born on September 29, 1907 in Tioga, Texas. His parents moved to Oklahoma when he was a teenager. As a child, he worked on his parents' ranch until he graduated from high school. At the age of 17, Gene decided to strike out on his own, becoming a telegraph operator in Chelsea, Oklahoma. His singing career started in 1928 because of actually someone famous. During his downtime while he was working, Gene would pull out his guitar and sing, a practice that actually later got him fired from that job. Go figure. Before he got fired, though, a customer who was passing through town heard him and encouraged him to sing professionally. It was humorist Will Rogers. As soon as he could afford to, Gene moved to New York City to try his luck in show business. And although he was turned down for a recording contract with RCA Records, he did head back to Oklahoma with some advice to start his career by doing local radio shows. Gene started singing on radio shows in Oklahoma, which got him a recording contract with Columbia Records in 1929. By 1930, Gene was going back and forth between Chicago and New York City, recording hillbilly-style records, and got his first big hit in 1932 with the song "That Silver-Haired Daddy of Mine." He also partnered up with another singer while in Chicago, Smiley Burnett, and together they made a bunch of records. In fact, it was because of their act that Autry ended up in the movies when the duo were discovered by film producer Nat Levine. Gene really made a name for himself when he did 44 Westerns, all starting in 1934. Gene was in the United States Air Force in World War II, where he became a C-109 transport pilot. He also had a radio show at the time called Gene Autry's Melody Ranch, which also ran on CBS Radio from 1940 to 1956. During his show, since Gene had a bunch of kids that looked up to him at the time, he came up with what was called the Cowboy Code. Think of these rules as the Ten Commandments if you want to be a cowboy. In fact, people also used to call them the Cowboy Commandments. And after you hear the rules, you'll probably think to yourself, man, Gene Autry was woke. Yeah, I'm just kidding. The rules were, 1, the cowboy must never shoot first, hit a smaller man, or take unfair advantage. 2, he must never go back on his word or a trust confided in him. 3, he must always tell the truth. 4, he must be gentle with children, the elderly, and animals. 5, he must not advocate or possess racially or religiously intolerant ideas. 6, he must help people in distress. 7, he must be a good worker. 8, he must keep himself clean in thought, speech, action, and personal habits. 9, he must respect women, parents, and his nation's laws. And 10, the cowboy is a patriot. You know, I actually take that back. He was woke. Anywho, Gene's music and movie career went hand in hand. As he became more popular in the movies, his record sales started to rise, and as far as his music career went, he sang some of the biggest standards in American music history, including his signature song, Back in the Saddle Again, along with Don't Fence Me In, Tumbling Tumbleweeds, and Ghost Riders in the Sky. He also sang some of the biggest holiday classics ever, including Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Here Comes Santa Claus, Frosty the Snowman, and Peter Cottontail. In total, he did almost 100 movies and well in excess of over 600 records. Gene was not only a film star and a music star, he was also an entrepreneur. Gene became a ranch owner, buying the Monogram Ranch in 1953 and renaming it the Melody Ranch after the little radio show he had for 16 years. Gene became a partner in a company called the World Championship Rodeo Company, which supplied all the livestock for all the rodeos. He had endorsement deals with comic strips, producing Gene Autry comics in the 1950s. In the late 1960s, he bought the film rights to a lot of his old films from Republic Pictures and made money off of them during the VHS boom in the 1980s. He had a deal with Kenton Hardware Company to make toy guns. Gene also owned the baseball team, the Anaheim/Los Angeles Angels, several TV and radio stations, a small hotel chain, and had a town named after him in Oklahoma. That I don't think he actually owned. Maybe. Gene Autry passed away from lymphoma on October 2nd, 1998. But when you look at guys like Ryan Reynolds and Dwayne Johnson owning a bunch of different businesses to go along with their movie careers, they probably learned how by studying the OG entertainer slash businessman model that Gene Autry started almost 80 years earlier because, as it turns out, Gene Autry was actually the template. The man nicknamed the Singing Cowboy because of all the westerns that he made and sang in, Gene Autry, inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame in 1969, and we've put his music onto our podcast playlist, the link to which, as I've said before, is in the show notes. The Music Halls of Fame podcast is part of the Music History Today network, which can be found under Music History Today on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts from, and also on our YouTube page under Music History Today. Thank you very much for listening.